And we're logged on to the web this week, our regular exploration of all things online. James Hall joins us as always. Howdy.
Howdy.
And a special edition this week, isn't it, James?
It is.
Google started out with the motto, "Don't be evil." But in 2006, CEO Eric Schmidt acknowledged they used an evil scale in deciding to censor its Chinese service. This week, Google changed its privacy policy. So just what does that mean for you? We ask lecturer of internet studies at Curtin University, Dr. Tama Lever. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Now, firstly, I'd like to know, who do these changes affect?
Pretty much anyone that uses Google. It's a platform-wide change to their policies. And, of course, this means people who are signed in to Google at any given moment. But the major change is, of course, that all of the bits of Google and all of the tools, so things like YouTube, things like Gmail, things like search, which used to be separated and siloed, now suddenly all of the information recorded about them will be put into one place to build one profile about the user logged in.
So is it just people with accounts for things like Gmail and YouTube, or is it people that just use the search engine as well?
Anyone that uses Google has certain information tracked, but the only way that those pieces can be tied together is if people actually log into the Google services that they're using.
Right. And so what kind of information are Google now able to collect?
Well, Google keeps a track of pretty much everything you do because from their perspective, that's useful for targeting advertising. I mean, at the end of the day, Google's main revenue stream is targeted advertising. And your search history used to inform what ads came up on search. Your track of what you used to watch on YouTube would inform what YouTube ads. But it was never the case that the two would interbreed, if you like. But now, if you're logged in and you search for recipes on your Google search, it might be that when you go to YouTube next, you find the suggested videos that you watch at the end might all be related to the recipes that you've been searching for.
So I wonder, though, to an extent, might people be happy to have more local and relevant information, even ads showing up first?
I think it's always a trade-off. With any of these services, we have to remember that they're not benevolent. They are businesses. And from the perspective of Google, they probably do think that this is entirely about providing a better service. And I have to say, having gone from 70 separate privacy policies down to one, it's certainly easier to understand. I do think there are some legitimate concerns about the size of the profile that they might be building about people if they were used for something other than just advertising. That is the general fear, if you like. Now, it's not to date the case that that has happened, but there is always a fear, for example, that if somebody was charged with something in the US, then the US government could demand to look at the entire record that Google has built on that person. And there is some concern that no matter where you are in the world, you're usually governed by terms and conditions set in the US and under US jurisdiction. So there are some sort of not far-fetched, but some things that are statistically unlikely, if you like, but are possible.
So where do you suppose it sits on the evil scale then?
I'd say that it's a hard one. I mean,
sure.
From my perspective, I'll keep using all the things I kept using before and I'll stay logged in because at the end of the day, for me, the benefit of those services being more tailored because I'm logged in. And to be honest, you know, I pay so little attention to the ads, I don't really mind if they're tailored or not. It makes little difference to me. But I do understand for a lot of people, they prefer a higher sense of privacy. And there are some steps you can take. For example, you could, if you really wanted to, set up a number of different Google accounts, use one when you're logged into YouTube, one when you're using Gmail, and you don't have to be signed in at all, of course, to use search. So you can separate these things out. It just takes more effort. And I think, just like with Facebook, when they changed their terms and conditions, mostly these corporations rely on us being too lazy and indifferent to actually go through and have four separate accounts. I certainly could never be bothered logging into four separate things to use Google services.
And so often that is the case. Dr. Tama Lever joins us on the web this week. He's lecturing internet studies at Curtin University. So does our regular guest, Mr. James Hall. James, I wonder if you can comment on this, because these kinds of changes, well, they kind of lead into the Googleopoly, if you like, making it harder and harder for smaller businesses. No one asks Jeeves anymore, do they?
No, they don't. And no one goes to Friends Reunited to meet up with people. I guess a little side issue that I'm finding interesting is traditionally the idea of privacy when the internet first started and there was all this access, it was don't put your email on, you know, keep your credit card details. And now we're sort of okay with putting every detail of our lives and every thought, and social networking sites and stuff encourage it. You think something, put it down and send it out there.
Mm.
And in a sense, you know, there's a complicity in giving up that privacy, but also that next process of that privacy, it's kind of very anti-1984, where Winston Smith had what was in his head and that was it. That's now, you know, commercially viable. Google, Facebook are making money out of these internal thoughts. I wonder if you guys think the same way or reflect on that.
Yeah. Dr. Tamaleva?
Well, absolutely. I do think, I mean, one of the things that is difficult is often we use these services thinking that they are provided, you know, out of the ether for the goodness of mankind, which is simply not the case. Facebook, Google, Microsoft, these are enormous businesses, and they make money, certainly for Facebook and for Google, they make money by building robust profiles about us that they use to target advertising. That is it is a legitimate business model, but we often forget that the thing that Google or the thing that Facebook sells is our private information. They don't sell it attached to us, so you can't look up my name if you use, you know, an ad service on Google. But Google is selling the fact that they can target advertising in an incredibly precise manner, and increasingly so can Facebook, and that is incredibly valuable. And I suspect one of the issues is that as consumers, we generally don't think of that information as terribly valuable until long after we've gotten to the habit of giving it up.
Mm, and for them it is. I suppose you do have to give it to them, though, because they were fairly open with the changes. It was all over their front page.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Google has been far more transparent in this process than, say, the last five or six changes Facebook has made. So in that respect, it's very transparent. And I do think they have been very upfront, and they have published quite, you know, robust documentation to tell you what's changing. And really the question is always, can people actually read this and think about it before they click yes? And often that's sadly not the case.
Well, Tama, great chatting with you. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
That's Dr. Tamaleva, lecturer in internet studies at Curtin University, on the web this week.